Hi again, everybody, and welcome to our weekly podcast that we call Ask the Biblical Counselor. Glad to be with you again this week as we look into God's Word for some answers that we sometimes need about challenging situations that occur in our lives. I want to thank again our local church, Faith Family Fellowship, which is a Southern Baptist church in Spanish Fort, Alabama, who supports our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Institute. I want to thank Pastor Joel Faircloth and his elders and staff for supporting us every week and giving us this opportunity to share with you these important considerations. My name is Ab Abercrombie. I'm the director of the Biblical Counseling Institute, which is an educational ministry devoted to teaching biblical counseling and discipleship throughout the church. So today I wanted to talk about the upcoming holidays. They're coming upon us quickly, as they always seem to do. And as we head into Thanksgiving and Christmas, these holidays provide, I think, both a challenge and an opportunity for Christians seeking to have an impact on our loved ones during this family-centered time of year. And regarding this topic, I received the following question this week. A woman and writes, she says, "My husband, children, and I are the only professing Christians in our family. Every holiday season is tense because we try to share the gospel with our loved ones, but they refuse to change. They just ignore us and continue living sinfully. They even mock and make fun of us whenever we choose not to drink alcohol or participate in other unacceptable activities. How do we deal with people like that? And how do we help them come to Jesus?" Well, this is the type of question that I've heard many times, and probably I think each of us have considered from time to time, how do we share the gospel with people who are probably the most dear to us, family members, dear friends, people we've known for long periods of our life? How do we help them see the importance of Christ Jesus and his involvement in our life? And one of the first things I think that we have to remember is that engaging family members and close friends may be among the most difficult evangelistic assignments we face. Now, they're difficult, but they're not impossible. And they're difficult, but yet they are assigned to us. We must be careful to accept every assignment that the Lord gives us, even if we find it challenging, frightening, difficult in different ways. But as a result of the difficulty of this assignment, I think we have to find a new reservoir of temperance, love, and faithfulness to the process. These capacities are critical as we engage people with whom we have a long-standing relationship, and we're going to continue to have relationship with them, even if they do not become converted. We still want to be in relationship with these people. We want to have every opportunity we can through the years to convey Christ in whatever form and opportunity the Lord provides. Remember that the ones closest to you know the most about you. That's, I think, part of why it's hard for them to hear discussions of a biblical nature from us. This means that they possibly knew you before your conversion, and they may be doubtful that your professed change is real. Now, others tend to minimize or discount those closest to them and are resistant to your efforts to share the truth, because they just don't take it very well from people that they have an intimate relationship with. Now, remember that even the Lord Jesus had unbelieving family members. I think we forget about that sometimes. Not one of Jesus's brothers were converted prior to his crucifixion. Also, people in the Lord's hometown discounted Jesus as well, and most rejected his teaching. This is recorded in Matthew 13, where a visit was made by Jesus to his hometown of Nazareth. And in verse 54 of Matthew 13, it says that he, Jesus, came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And listen to this in verse 57. "And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household.' And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief." Now, this truth of this struggle that even Jesus, our Lord, knew himself should not deter us, but it must educate us as to the challenge of encounters like these with families and family and friends. As with all other areas of life, Jesus has experienced this difficulty and has compassion both for the unconverted and for the evangelists sent to carry the good news. He knows what that process is like in human form. Now, the first caution I would offer to any of us going into any evangelistic situation, but especially with those closest to us, is that we must not let our love and zeal push us beyond the timing and will of God. Look, I understand you love these people. You have a great urgency to see them come to Christ. But God is sovereign. He's sovereign over all matters of life, and he is certainly sovereign over salvation. God and God alone changes hearts. In Romans 9, the Apostle Paul quoted from the book of Exodus, where God said to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." So it really is settled at the foundation of the world through God's foreknowledge who will become followers of Christ and who will not. It is ordained in heaven long before we ever identify a need or express the gospel to someone or feel a conviction to do so. God has already orchestrated this moment. Now, this truth in no way lessens our responsibility to share the gospel. The fact that it is difficult, the fact that the gospel divides people. Jesus said, "You suppose that I came to bring peace, but I tell you, I came to bring the sword." And there will be many, if not most, who will reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there will be those who receive and submit their lives to his lordship. But believers are entrusted with the good news, and we're commissioned by the Great Commission in Matthew 28 to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, including those who are living in the nation right next door. They're living right next door to us. They're in our families. They might even be living under our own roofs. And yet we are commissioned, we are assigned, we're appointed to go to them. And so the fact that it is challenging and difficult, and I think all evangelism is to a great degree very difficult, we must not resist or set aside that responsibility. Our success, remember, our success as evangelists is not found in the outcome. The outcome is up to the Lord. Our success as evangelists is found in our obedience. Our obedience to go, to speak, to share, to convey the biblical gospel, whether they receive or not, whether God appoints salvation or not, we do not control, but we do control our response to the assignment. And I know that you, like I, want to be accountable to God. I want to answer the assignments given. I don't always. I certainly fail. I certainly sin. I do not always go as I'm told to go. I think any of us can experience anxiety and even fear sometimes about approaching certain people. But if the conviction is upon our hearts to do so, and we've prayed about it, and we're certain that the Lord has appointed us to a task, our success will be found in our answer to the Lord. Yes. Amen, Father. Lord, I will go. I will do as I've been instructed. But remember that God alone determines the product. I think that sometimes, because of our love for family members and friends, we sometimes not feel not only the urgency and the conviction to share the gospel, but we feel the burden somehow as if it is really up to us to carry that person across that goal line of conversion. But it really is not. We can only be faithful to share lovingly, truthfully, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that in Ephesians 4:15, we're instructed to share truth in love. We must be loving, compassionate, grace-filled, but we must also be truthful. We must go to the full and ever-present gospel as it is presented in Scripture and convey it point by point to those with whom we have been assigned. Now, because of the challenge of that, because of the timing, because of God's sovereignty over this matter, we must be constantly in prayer concerning the salvation of family and friends. That may seem so elementary to you that it does not bear mentioning. But look, I'm going to tell you, we don't pray as we should. Or we might pray before Thanksgiving holiday, knowing that we're going to run into Uncle Bob or Aunt Susan, or we're going to have an opportunity to share the gospel. We might pray then. But prayer has to be a continual thing for us. We're to pray without ceasing. We must be mindful of those in our lives, family members and friends most especially, who yet are not converted and who need the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we praying about them in June? Are we praying about them in January? Are we praying always that God prepares us and gives opportunity and prepares the heart of the individual who will hear the gospel that they might receive it? So prayer is really absolutely critical to everything we do of an evangelistic nature. Now, our prayer life is probably the single most important thing that we must do when we're seeking the salvation of another. But leading into encounters, which sometimes are more frequent over the holidays, we have to be also seeking from the Lord timing, words, patience, proper emotion, and sometimes even seeking boldness. Sometimes our problem is not that we speak too much or too sternly, but that we are too passive and too cautious. We're terrified even sometimes to mention the gospel. Sometimes we're afraid that we'll hurt someone's feelings. Sometimes we're afraid of the response of someone. Sometimes people are atheistic. Some are very bold and confrontational. They're resistant to the gospel, and we can freeze and we can hesitate to go forward with the words that we've been appointed to speak. But we're seeking, Lord, give us the timing. Prompt us when we should speak. Quiet us, Lord, when we should not speak. Make my emotions clean and pure. Help me to not become riled with anger or wrath. Lord, help me to be free of malice. Fill my heart with compassion and affection. And Lord, when the timing is such as you require, give me the boldness to speak forth. We ask for these things. We ask for other things, other capacities that only God can provide. So we're praying throughout the year always for the unconverted, but we're praying knowing that an encounter is on the horizon for specific leading and specific capacities that perhaps we lack. Some people tell me, they say, well, evangelism is not my gift. My gift is something else, and I don't really evangelize people. Look, let me tell you, evangelism is a global assignment that the Lord has given. And yes, some people are certainly more gifted. My spiritual father, Bruce Edwards, is an extremely gifted evangelist. He'll talk to anyone, anywhere about Christ very effectively. For me, it's harder. It's more difficult to do, but it is an assignment just the same that we each have. And we have to remember that when we rely upon the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit obviously has all the spiritual gifts. We're not relying upon our capacities. We're not relying upon our physical giftedness. We're relying upon the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our steps and our words. And so we have to be very careful not to talk ourselves away from or out of the opportunities that the Lord provides for us to go forth as his representative, as his ambassador. Now, another important aspect of our testimony should be demonstrated in our day-to-day life. Obviously, we can't just speak about the gospel. We can't even just go to the Bible verses that convey the gospel if our life and manner of life is out of order. We are not perfect. We certainly are sinful people. You're not going to give a perfect representation of Christ in your life, but surely we must encourage one another and even stir one another to love and good works. We have to strive to convey what a gospel-filled life, a spirit-filled life looks like. Our words, conduct, emotion, it should be unique. Our demonstration of godly spiritual fruit should be prevalent. Unbelievers should be able to see something different about how we live and about how we express ourselves. Different perhaps from how we lived before. Maybe they'll see a difference in our lifestyle compared to how we lived as unconverted people. But they also should see a difference in how we live versus how the world lives. How we think versus how the world thinks. How we deal with emotions. How we deal with conflict. And certainly we must show that temperance and affection and goodwill and harmony that we're taught by Scripture to convey. You know, there's a popular saying, it's been often attributed to Francis of Assisi. The statement that goes around the internet is to preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Well, the truth is there is no evidence that Francis of Assisi ever made the statement. So it's attributed to him, but we don't really know if he ever said anything like that. But more importantly, words must be used at some point to convey the full biblical gospel and leading to a response from the one drawn to Christ. So we do preach the gospel to a degree by our conduct and our emotion and the way that we live our lives. This is true. We do want to convey Christ in a way that is different than the rest of the world. But please don't forget that your testimony and your lifestyle is not adequate in and of itself to lead another to conversion. The biblical gospel must be presented. And because of that, we have to study God's word. We have to know how to present the gospel scripturally. Remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And because of this, we can't just say, well, look at what Jesus did for me. Aren't I a spectacular example of the grace of God working in someone's life. Well, indeed, we may be very changed people, but the people we're witnessing to will need to see more than just what God has done with us, because we are quite incomplete in our sanctifying progression toward Christ-likeness. And they may be less impressed with with how we're living than we are impressed with how we're living. So we do have to find a way to get Scripture open and to be able to share. I really recommend that we try to do that individually with people. It is very hard to step into a family gathering of multiple unbelievers and try to convey the gospel and expect that everyone is drawn collectively at this moment and for this purpose, and that all will receive the gospel just as I present it. I think instead we need to look for opportunities for private conversations, stepping away from those who might provide a detraction or distraction to the gospel. It might be negative. If someone is open and seeks you out for a conversation, then be sure to step away and provide time, adequate time, and adequate scriptural reference for them to hear and respond to the full biblical gospel. Now, once again, I will stress this. We must always be mindful of the will and timing of God. And we have to realize that our family members may need time to observe Christ working in our lives. They may need a longer period of time. The individual may also need to hear and read the biblical gospel multiple times before surrendering to the Lord. And often, unfortunately, we are less patient with those who are close to us, and we may press impatiently when really perhaps more time and affection are needed. You know, some of us were trained in evangelism that you know, this may be the only or the last opportunity you have to share the gospel. This person may die tonight, and you will have hesitated to share the full gospel. Well, there's merit in recognizing the brevity of life and the reality that someone may leave this world without Christ. But remember that God is sovereign. God is in control of this process. And if God prompts you to hesitate and to slow your process, be open to that. Be responsive to that. Don't feel that you have to press everything into this single moment. Take the time necessary to share once, twice, 20 times if need be. If someone asks me again, I want to share it again. If someone continues to ask questions and come to me for further details, I want to go back to that person and share it again and again. One never knows when the heart will break and when confession will come. And you have to also be aware that you may not be the one standing there when conversion finally arrives. Be aware that you may be the one appointed to seed or water the gospel that may bear its yield sometime in the future. You certainly remember Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 3. He gave this reference. He said, I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Oh, how I need to remember that. Sometimes I can put too much confidence in the flesh, too much confidence in what I think is my knowledge or my emotion, my compassion. I sometimes think that I can do more than I can do. I don't know if you ever have that problem. But better that we remain yielded to Christ, understand that we are being used in the moment as Christ directs, and we want to go certainly as far as he requires and no further than he requires. And be very careful about how you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You are his ambassador, and you must convey him accurately and lovingly. Now, the final thing that I'll address today is that sometimes it's not as simple as sharing the gospel. Sometimes it's not that there's an openness and we step in as appointed and give the biblical gospel. But some in our families, some loved ones will be adversarial to the gospel. And they'll be adversarial to our godly way of life if we seek to live rightly and to shun certain activities or not participate in certain things that perhaps we did before. We can become the object of ridicule, even when we've not really confronted anybody. We've not pointed to anything wrong in their conduct. We've not even necessarily shared the gospel with them, but they can really attack us and be very difficult. And we must be cautious and encourage one another to refuse arguments and speculations. We do not serve the gospel by attacking or fighting with others. Remember Paul's admonition in Romans 12. He said, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now that's different than forsaking our obligation to share the gospel. We can offer to share the gospel. We can offer to give reason for this hope that resides within us. We can encourage people to hear us, but we also sometimes may have to wait and let them observe and listen and see our encounters with other people. But I want to leave you with this final word that Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, because I think it reflects so much of how we have to go into these encounters, how we have to go even into the setting of being around family members who are unbelievers and be prepared. And the scripture I'm going to read to you really certainly points to God's sovereignty in the matter and to our appointment as a bondservant of the Lord, what our role is and what it is not. But in 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 24, Paul writes, he said, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. It does us no good to take up an argument with an unbeliever. Doesn't mean that we aren't bold. It doesn't mean that we don't stand for the truth. Doesn't mean that we never confront something that is blatantly wrong. But we have to be very, very careful about how we take up these arguments. Is it anger in my heart? Is it wrath? Is it condemnation? What's in my heart that's pressing the quarrel? That's what we have to be aware of. But the bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance. Now listen to that wording. We are not quarrelsome. We're kind. We're able to teach. We're patient. We're gentle. If perhaps God may grant them repentance. You cannot provoke repentance. You just cannot. I know you know that. I know that I know that. I know that sometimes I press to accomplish that at the same time. Be careful with your hearts. Be careful. Because it says, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, God must convey this, not you. And they may come to their senses. Come to their senses. Come out of the muck and mire of unbelief. They may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. That is such a loving depiction of the outcome of a gospel received, a heart converted, a life transformed. And remember that it relies entirely upon God and you're simply a tool that the Lord employs. You have no particular value or capacity of your own, except that you have the Spirit of God. And you have a love for God and hopefully a growing love for his people. And in that, God can use you as a bondservant. And so be mindful of these things as you look to touch your family with the gospel this holiday season. And I'll be praying that the Lord will use all of us in some unique way. And we pray that even those that we perhaps would never expect could be converted, actually come to Christ this holiday season. So let me pray with you and we'll close for today. And I'll see you next time on our upcoming podcast. God bless you. Father, we turn to you and just pray for these opportunities to share your word, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please open hearts and minds, Lord, to your truth. And prepare us, God, prepare our hearts as instruments of the gospel, that we would respond correctly to your timing, correctly to your conviction. Lord, help us to go as you have directed, and give us the capacity to do, Lord, what is only possible through your great and glorious hand, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.